B-Pod Studios.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. You know, I was thinking about your book, Underdogs, when I was watching that game, because I remember that 2017 season. It was really nice, and Carson Wentz looked unbelievable. And we got a Twitter poll question, and we're going to come right out of the gate with it for you. Which best describes Carson Wentz? Is it game manager, future MVP, or a guy that's wildly inconsistent? Where would you classify Carson Wentz to this point in his career?
To this point in his career, I would probably still say future MVP.
My man, I'm on board with you. Yeah.
That being said, I think he's closer to wildly inconsistent, or he's between future MVP and wildly inconsistent. He's definitely not a game manager. If he was a game manager, he doesn't take that third down sack that really pushes back the field goal range there.
1,000% agree. 1,000% agree. So why are we seeing these inconsistencies in his game when we have seen him play at such a high level?
It's a good question. I think part of it is like the bargain that you take, the deal that you take when you have Carson Wentz as your quarterback in terms of him holding the ball. You know, you don't get that acrobatic play he had on Monday night in 2017 against Washington where it looks like he's getting sacked and he emerges from the pile. And you don't get that if he's getting rid of the ball right away. You know, that's not his style. The flip side of that is you're going to get those third down sacks or those sacks where he's holding on to the ball too long. He needs to do a better job with that. There's no question. And the other thing, too, is this is year five for Carson Wentz. He's not this rookie quarterback anymore, so there should be an expectation that some of these mistakes don't happen. And I certainly think it's fair to be critical of him, whether it's your listeners, whether it's you guys, whether it's the head coach.
Now, speaking of the head coach, he even mentioned yesterday after being asked, I believe it was three different times, about Carson's ability to throw the ball away, diagnose what's in front of him, make the smart play. Who's in his ear? Who is in Carson Wentz's ear now? Press Taylor's there, Doug Peterson, Marty Morningweg, Rick Scangarello. Who's now responsible for coaching him up?
Well, I can assure you they have no shortage of people in his ear.
Yeah,
right. You know, I mean, that's not their problem. They have a lot of coaches on that staff. You mentioned a few. There's also Marty Morningweg. There's a lot of people there who are meant to support the quarterback. But ultimately, it's not the coaches telling Carson what to do. It's Carson having the presence of mind to do it. And like I said, because he has this special talent that he can extend plays, and part of what you like about Carson Wentz is the aggressiveness and the creativity when it works for you. But he needs to know when to get out of it. And I think part of it, frankly, is that when he's out there, he feels like he has to make plays. You know, that's his role on the team. He's not the point guard. You know, he's the playmaker here.
Zach, do you feel, we've often heard, and I think we all agree, that Carson is a very smart guy. But do you think there's maybe a little bit of mental fragility in that when things don't go right, maybe there's a hanging of a head? Like, I can't get over that he's 14 for 18 the other day. Throws the interception, and then for the rest of the game goes 10 for 14, two interceptions and a lost fumble.
That's a good question. I wouldn't call it the mental fragility there, although the way he played the other day certainly doesn't help. But I do think that he puts a lot on him, and that he can try to kind of take over the game. And we've heard it in the past. Zach Ertz has said it. Carson Wentz doesn't have to be Superman. Well, it's almost like every time he's out there, he tries to be. And I think that's where Carson needs to improve. And the reality is, like I said, it's year five. So these aren't necessarily conversations that we should be having year five when they're the same conversations we had in year four and year three.
Talking to Zach Berman from The Athletic, I know you're a big basketball guy as well, so I think this term, it might annoy you as much as it annoys me. Load management. And we've heard that a lot with the Sixers, and now we're hearing about managing the workload of DeSean Jackson. What did you make of that when Doug Peterson mentioned it yesterday?
You know, I really wasn't surprised, and I'll give a little background here. I think when the Eagles acquired Marquise Goodwin, one thing they were thinking when they acquired Goodwin is that he can spell Jackson at times. That Jackson can get out there and and he doesn't have to worry about overburdening himself. With Deshaun, he's not necessarily a high volume receiver. He hasn't been. What you need is you need Deshaun to stay healthy, and the injury concern has been there. So it is alarming when he only takes about half the snaps. But I think given the fact that they really didn't have much of a training camp, given the fact that this was their initial plan for him, it doesn't surprise me. But I do think there's a place they can get between 50% of the snaps and every snap.
Zach, on Sunday, it seemed that Zach Ertz seemed a little mopey out on the field. It just didn't seem himself as normal, you know, good self. And then we hear about a report that maybe something happened before the game with he and Howie Roseman. What's the situation with Zach Ertz, and where is he mentally right now with this football team?
Yeah, so as for that report, my understanding is that there was a spirited discussion last week. I can't tell you the exact nature of it. It wasn't characterized to me as a shouting match, but it was a spirited discussion. That being said, look, Zach Ertz wants a new contract. He's been honest about that. I frankly think that it's a contract that shouldn't be this complicated to figure out, because there's a floor and there's a ceiling. You know, if you think the floor is Austin Hooper and the ceiling is George Kittle's deal. That being said, the way the Eagles are operating, it's almost as if it was with Malcolm Jenkins a year ago, where you know, they appreciate him, they want him on the field, but they kind of they might not have the same value of him as he has for himself. We'll see how that all works out. But certainly this isn't a non-issue. Now, Zach Ertz he's a professional player. I mean, that was a bad drop the other day. I don't think the drop was because of his contract. That being said, when Dallas Goedert's as involved as he is, and Dallas Goedert's being used the way he is, it's impossible not to kind of view it within the context of Zach Ertz. And that's the situation the Eagles put themselves in when they drafted Dallas Goedert in the second round.
Now, you mentioned Malcolm Jenkins. Different in terms of years left on a contract, but that Malcolm Jenkins situation ended with Malcolm Jenkins being in New Orleans. How do you foresee this working out between the Eagles and Zach Ertz?
It's fascinating to me. Frankly, if I had to guess right now, I would guess it ends the way it did with Malcolm Jenkins.
Yeah.
But I
agree with you. I agree with you, Zach. I don't see how they work
it
out.
Here, I would say the difference is they have more runway here. They have a year here to figure it out. But the Malcolm Jenkins thing was no secret a year ago. Mm-hmm. You know, he did not report to the voluntary portions of the offseason program. It was very clear he wanted a new deal. It was very clear the Eagles weren't giving him the deal that he felt he deserved.
Zach, I want to go back to Carson for a second here, because you referenced the four different people that are in Carson's ear. Is that a good thing? So many messages coming from four different people?
There really isn't enough of a sample size for me to know yet.
Okay.
Because this is a different structure, so I'll reserve judgment there. The one thing that I will make clear is that in terms of the offense itself, this is Doug Peterson's offense. Like that. You know, I've heard this idea that there's too many cooks in the kitchen with the offense. I don't believe that to be the case. I believe this to be Doug Peterson's offense, and Doug Peterson's frankly more emboldened than he ever has been, in my opinion. But in terms of working with Carson Wentz, yeah, there's a lot of voices in his ear. But the reality is, I just haven't been around this year enough to know how that's working one way or the other.
Zach, I don't remember hearing at all during this training camp that Herbig and Driscoll were side by side on the right side of the offensive line. And then all of a sudden Sunday, we get late word that Lane Johnson's out. And those are the two that are protecting the right side of the line. Were you surprised at that? How did it all play out? And what do you see moving forward?
I thought this was a mismanaged situation, Bob. I think that no matter how the Eagles try to spin it, the way I see this is really they were held hostage by Jason Peters for 2 weeks. They already had a truncated training camp period. Andre Dillard gets hurt, August 23rd. Jason Peters knocks on Doug Peterson's door, September 7th. There were 2 weeks there when the Eagles could have figured out what they were doing at right guard. And by the way, that entire time, Lane Johnson wasn't practicing either. So they spent these 2 weeks of training camp with Matt Pryor at left tackle, Jordan Mailata at right tackle. You know, before Dillard went down, when Peters was taking snaps off, they had Nate Herbig. They had Matt Pryor at first team right guard, not Nate Herbig. So here they are week one, and really it's a decision they made last week. I think this was a mismanaged situation during training camp, and I think a big part of it was because they spent 2 weeks kind of fiddling around with the Jason Peters situation.
I couldn't agree with you more, Zach. Speaking with Zach Berman from The Athletic. So when it comes to Lane Johnson, and also Miles Sanders for that matter, are you getting the sense, what are you hearing as far as them playing on Sunday against the Rams?
You know, I keep hearing that they're getting better, that there's confidence there. We've heard it before. Mm-hmm. Until these guys are full participants in practice, you need to reserve judgment. You know, I say that because I don't want to put out bad information. When Miles Sanders first went down, what was it, 4 weeks ago now, the word I kept hearing is that he's going to be fine. They're being cautious. They just want to get him to week one. Well, week one shows up, he doesn't even make the trip. Mm-hmm. So until Miles Sanders is out there as a full participant in practice, I'm going to go based on what I see and not what I hear.
Zach, always great catching up with you, man. Really appreciate you joining us. I know we'll be checking with you later on in football season. Thanks a lot, Zach.